In the Gospel today, we continue with the theme we heard from last week. The problem of little faith. You recall last Sunday, we heard about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water to Jesus. But then he got scared. He saw the water and he began to sink. It's not easy to walk on water. I tried it when I was at the Sea of Galilee. I couldn't do it. How do we have great faith that enables us to walk even on water? Last week we talked about one of the most important things for having great faith is having great reason for that faith. If you just say to someone, believe, trust in Jesus, and they don't know why they should, well, you're asking them to commit heresy. It's called fideism. Believing without any reason to believe. The other opposite, of course, is called rationalism. Only believing, or that is only knowing, accepting, that which has already taken place. I know that when I drop this ball, it will land on the ground. How do you know that? Well, I've seen it happen before. That is called faith resting on reason. The rationalist says, I do not know what will happen when I drop this ball. You say to him, well, you just dropped it 10 times. And 10 times it fell and hit the ground. He says, I don't know whether it will hit the ground next. You say, well, what if you let go of the ball and you see it falling? Will it hit the ground? The rationalist says, I don't know. You say, well, why don't you know? Because it hasn't happened yet. That's extreme rationalism. It is also a heresy. Fideism, the opposite. You believe something may happen, though you have no reason to believe it. The Judeo-Christian faith, however, is faith resting on reason. We know what has happened in the past, and therefore we can, with faith, know what will happen now and in the future. We speak of this in regard to not a ball dropping on the ground, but the actions of God. We know what God has done in the past. We know what He did at the Red Sea. We know what He did when He saved David from Goliath. We know what... And therefore, because we know what He has done, we know who He is. We know somebody, we know their identity, by having watched their actions. You go to the Sea of Galilee, and you see a man in a boat throwing his net into the sea. I wonder who he is. Well, he's a fisherman. No doubt, you watch him cast his net. He casts his net. He must be a fisherman. You know who someone is by watching what they've done. And then, I can ask you, what will he do next? You say, well, and he lifts his net. You know what he'll do. You know what he has done in the past. You now know who he is. And so now, you can make a guess at what he's going to do next. With God, however, we are talking about an act of faith. He gives us the grace to have confidence in Him once we know what He's done, to know what He will do now and in the future, in any state and situation in our life. So we should, when we're faced with adversity, when Peter was walking on that water, he should know that God parted the Red Sea so that Israel could walk on dry land. Therefore, Peter had faith to get out of the boat and walk on that water if Jesus called him. If God can part the waters of the Red Sea, how much easier can He cause a man to walk on the surface of the Sea of Galilee? And so Peter got out of the boat. Knowing what God had done, through the grace given to him, he had faith in the present moment, but that faith was weak, and he began to doubt. And he began to sink. This is faith resting on reason, but we need to have great faith. And that faith can be strong when our knowledge of what God has done is strong. We need to know the Holy Scriptures. We need to know salvation history. If we know the creation story, we know the flood story, we know the crossing of the sea, what God did for Israel when He brought them into the Promised Land, what He did for King David. When we know these stories of what God has done in the life of His people, then we who are His people today can know what He will do by faith. We can know what He will do today and in the future. This also goes for our own lives. We look back into our life and we can see what God has done for us throughout our life. We should recall what God has done. Now, how often we forget. How many times have you seen a miracle in your life? I guarantee there are some of you here who have seen a real, clear, an obvious miracle. I know I have. You have probably experienced throughout your life incredible acts of God when you thought there is no possible way that this or that would happen. Something you didn't expect. And you think, that's impossible what just happened. That is a miracle. And you think, yeah, I think that's happened a couple times. Which one? Now, there was something that happened last year, but this is why many people keep a faith journal. That is, what God has done. You keep a journal every day, or when great things happen, you write those things down so that when you begin to struggle in your faith and worry about what's going to happen today or tomorrow, you can look back in that journal and see what God's done in your own salvation history, in your own life. Like you can look back in the journal of the faith, that is the Holy Scriptures, and see what God has done. And know what He will do now. But what happens when we know all those things and yet we still struggle a little bit? What happens when we know all those things and we struggle with temptation to sin? Or, please, there's seating up here. Everyone, come up. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. What do we do when we struggle like Peter did out on the middle in the water? He was faithful. He was exercising faith, but he got scared. I would have. He knew what God had done in the past, and that knowledge of what God had done in the past gave him the strength and the faith to get out of that boat and start walking. But then he struggled. What do we do when our knowledge of what God has done in the past is enough to get us out of the boat and start walking, but not enough to keep us afloat? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. The disciples said to Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast it out, this demon?" And Jesus said, "Because of your little faith. I say to you, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain." Now, how many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? Anyone? Some of you, hopefully. Next time you see those pretty yellow flowers growing out in the field out there among the weeds, that's mustard, wild mustard. The Franciscans planted it when they were here to Nipperosera, so they could figure out where they were going, you know, from place to place. They didn't want to get lost. So as they're coming up through California, as they walked, discovered new regions, they would, every now and then, throw out a handful of mustard seed. Because they knew the next year when they came back through the region, they'd be able to see these yellow patches of flowers. And they could figure out where they had gone. It was their trail of breadcrumbs. And now, of course, the mustard's growing everywhere all over California. But if you take one of those little seed pods and you open it up, you'll see these little tiny black seeds. About, you know, a black ant. You ever seen a black ant walking along and they have the little balls, the head and the body? Take the head of a black ant. That's the size of a mustard seed, a wild mustard seed. He says, if you have faith the size of a grain of sand, you could move mountains. And then he says, but how are you? He says, this can only be done through prayer and fasting. So when your knowledge of the faith, so first, what do? To have great faith. But you got to know the Holy Scriptures. You got to know salvation history. You got to know what God has done from the time of Adam until the time of Jesus, through the early church and until today. You've got to know what God's done in your own life in order to have faith in what He will do for the people of God and yourself today and in the future. But when that knowledge is not enough to keep you afloat once you've got out of the boat, start walking, you've got to have prayer and fasting. Why is that? What is fasting? We are preparing today, we're beginning the preparations, hopefully in your home, for the coming of the Dormition Fast. There's more seating here. Please come. There's plenty of room here. There, slide over a little bit and make some seats here. Make some room. I'm not going to keep talking until you come sit down. Especially lady, pregnant ladies with babies. And Genevieve, come sit. All right. Prayer and fasting. We have coming, starting this Wednesday, the Dormition Fast. Oh, there he goes again, talking about fasts. Don't we ever stop fasting? No, we don't. Jesus said that when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. Here we are. The bridegroom has been taken away and we're fasting. Okay? So this is what Jesus said to do. He told His disciples, pray and fast. So this is what we need to do, His disciples today. Why? Because it makes God happy when you're miserable. No, that's called Jansenism. That's another heresy. God loves you. He is a loving Father. And He desires your good. Just like any of you who are fathers here, desire the good of your children. That their upgrade, their direction, their fruitfulness in life. And so, He desires that we fast. Why? What is fasting? Fasting is the regular giving up of something, which is good, sometimes also tastes good, for the sake of the changing of ourselves. You can fast all you want. You can give up food for the rest of your life. You can die of starvation and you will not change God at all. He's immutable. Talk to the theologians. They love to tell you that. God does not change. It's a great mystery. He doesn't change. So that means that no matter what you do, you're not going to change God. You can fast or not fast. You can eat a cheeseburger walking into the church here during the fast. It's not going to affect God. You can walk in here sucking on a piece of sand or a stick. It's not going to change God. What it does, it changes you. When we fast, every Wednesday and Friday during the normal time or during these festal or these fasting periods in preparation for a feast, what do? We regularly exercise our will, our willpower, right? You walk to the fridge in the morning, you open it up, and you see some eggs and a wonderful cheesecake. I think I'll just have Wheaties today. Or you're at the lunch line at work, and you hear your friend next to you order a BLT. And you come to your turn. Next. I think I'll just have the salad. Are you sure, sir? The BLTs are on sale today. No, I just want a salad. And then you eat your salad while you smell the bacon next to you. What did that do? That enabled, you just exercised your willpower. Now, bacon, eating bacon will not affect God. We're not eating bacon. Now, it'll affect your heart. You might want to check with your cardiologist, but it's not going to affect God. But you choosing to do something that is difficult in a little way like that is like doing a little push-up. Any of you who are runners, marathon runners, we have some here today, or any of you who decide to go out exercising, throughout your life, we've all done this. Right? We decide, I'm going to start exercising. I got to lose some weight. So you decide to wake up in the morning, you're going to go, I need to start jogging. What do? Do you go out and start jogging 10 miles? No, you start running, you walk out there, and you feel, that's enough, I'm going to go inside. And then the next day you go out and you start jogging again, and you have a little more energy. Or let's say push-ups. Oh, I'm going to do a push-up, so you can maybe do one. The next day you try and you can do two. Next day, I could do three. Next day, maybe within a week, this is kind of easy. You're up to 20. That wasn't too bad. What happened? You were slowly strengthening yourself. And we need to strengthen ourselves through regular decision making between bacon and a salad. Right? And when we do that, when we're faced with a temptation, when we're on the internet, and we come upon something that is tempting, we have the strength to say, that's not for me. Click, I'm going the other way. When we're walking down the street or we're driving and we see something that is a temptation to the eyes, or we're at work and we're tempted by something, or whatever the case may be, these various temptations to sin, we have the strength to say, nope, that's not for me. And so we are able to do that because we've exercised our willpower regularly. That is what fasting is for. And when we do that, we are changing. Not God, we are changing. We are growing closer to God as we choose to reject the things which are sin in our life, the things which draw us away from Him. By doing that, we are drawing closer to Him. Now, if you draw close to somebody and you decide you're going to draw close to them, sure, you're in a closer relationship with them, right? But there's only so much that can happen. Right? You saw him? But if you saw him and I start talking, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good? How are the kids?
Very good. What about you?
How's Gada?
She's okay.
Mashallah. So we can talk and I can learn a little bit what's going on in his life. And he learns a little bit what's going on in my life. And we start talking. And suddenly the relationship that began by just being in close proximity suddenly was joined together by conversation, knowledge of each other. And that's what prayer is. Prayer doesn't change God. You can pray all you want. God's not going to change. He's immutable. But you can change. And so the more we pray, the more we change. The more we begin to will and yearn for the things that God yearns and wills for. And when that happens, you find your prayers are being answered. Because you're willing what God wills, and what God wills is what happens. So we pray and we fast. To draw near to God, we reject the sinful temptations of life that keep us away from drawing near to Him through fasting, strengthening our willpower to be able to do those things. And then we talk to Him about the things we need. And He talks with us. And when we do that, then our faith is like the faith the size of a mustard seed, or even like a mountain. And with that kind of faith, resting squarely on reason, knowing what God has done, we can do great things for the kingdom of God. During these fasting periods, we always work on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We'll be talking about that more as we go along. This is only a 2-week fast, the Dormition fast. As we prepare for the Assumption or the Dormition of the Mother of God. It's only 2 weeks. An incredible opportunity to strengthen yourself, to draw close to God. During these times, we also attempt to increase our prayer life, which you shouldn't try and do without increasing your fasting. We also then increase our almsgiving. All three of these are intimately related. Because when we draw near to God and we begin to will the things that God wills through prayer, we begin to realize the things we have. We begin to look at our house, our garage filled with things we'll never use. We begin to look at our bank account and realize we have more than we had never ever could use. And we think, wow, look what God has given me and how abundantly He has given to me so that I may share that with others. And when we do that, then it is complete. We are now like God, who gives to those who are in need. And so we also want to meditate upon how can we increase not only our faith, not only our prayer and our fasting, but also our almsgiving. And we don't try to do that without prayer and fasting. All three of these are intimately related. So that by the time we get to the Dormition feast, to celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have changed. God hasn't changed, but we have changed. We have become more like Him, walked closer with Him, and prepared ourselves even more for that great day when He will return and we will stand before His judgment seat and hopefully be prepared for what we hear. Let us glorify Jesus Christ today and in the future, and especially through our prayer, our fasting, and almsgiving this Dormition fast. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and into age of ages. Amen.